This former All-American absolutely loves Jared Smith.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. David Pollack is raving over Jared Smith. We're going to play a clip from that and break it down and talk about, again, how much we agree with what he says. He says some really good stuff. We'll talk about that in just a second. A couple of freshmen that I think we need to pay attention to as we progress through summer workouts and into fall camp, because I think a couple of them could make an impact this fall. We'll talk about that, and then we'll kind of give you the schedule ahead for Auburn men's golf, who's still playing at a really high level, number one overall in the country, where they're going and what the roadmap is to get to the national championship. But let's just go ahead and jump in this. I kind of teased it at the top, David Pollack on his show. He's talking about particular dudes that are going to be like the guys to watch in the SEC. And he had some really good stuff to say about Jared Smith. Let's play the clip and then we'll break it down.
I think a name that would be really, really big in them taking the next step, Jared Smith, coming off the edge. You saw some flashes a year ago, but my gosh, you saw Keldrick Falk just go get drafted in the NFL. He looks just like him. The dude's 6'6". He's 260. He's got length. Like, this dude, he's next in line to be a problem off of the edge. So when you watch him, you see some good things and you see some playmaking. He's going to play a much bigger role. Five-star, all-world recruit, top five at his position. Now take that next step. Auburn's got another guy that goes and gets me some pressures and goes and makes some big plays off the edge. That would be big time.
This is why Jared Smith was such a priority for this staff to retain. You can go find pass rushers. You can go find pass rushers in the portal. I mean, Auburn's done it. Auburn's had success doing it, created some draft picks out of it. But Jared Smith's just different. You know, it's never been with Jared about the ability. He's always been, even in high school, it's always been if it's in a C-ball, hit-ball scenario, there's nobody better. He has the, again, David Pollack mentioned it, he has the length, he has the, you know, the thickness, he has everything to be able to, all the physical tools, the speed, the burst. He has everything when it's a C-ball, hit-ball scenario. Again, this goes back to high school because he wasn't an every-down guy to be the most elite at that particular item. Now, whenever you get to the SEC, your game has to evolve. And he's going into his sophomore year, and I can see, hey, if the thought is if this guy can develop his game even more and add and become a more – complete player, you have a potential high NFL draft pick on the roster, and you probably get him for, I mean, you get him for 2 years. He's only a sophomore. I think about the play in the spring game, the interception. Okay. Let's really think about that for a second. Now, it's not going to be this easy when you get into the season. You're not going to see those plays up close and personal that often. You're going to see some stuff on film. You're going to be able to pick up keys and tells from the offense. Like, you're going to be able to pick up some things, okay? But I understand you're probably not going to have the advantage of going against the offense and seeing those plays every single day for 15 practices before you go play a game. Okay, so I'm not trying to act like there's not an advantage for Jared in spring, okay? But it's just a step okay? It's just a step in the direction of becoming, you know, a complete player, all right? So in that particular play, it was said afterward from Golish, from Jared, he recognized the formation. He recognized what the particular offensive lineman did that told him what play that was going to be, okay? So it's one thing to recognize. It's another thing to be able to recognize and then execute. So he absorbed all that information. He took his tails that he saw. He knew what was coming. He dropped back, and he made a very, very athletic play in a short distance for a defensive lineman to pick off a pass like that. And then, you know, took it the distance. Now, would he have scored if it was full speed? Who knows? Doesn't matter. The point is, that is a step in the direction of becoming more than just a pin your ears back and fire off the ball and go get the quarterback. That is what you have to see from Jared if he's going to be the feature guy coming off the edge. That's just a very little example of a kid maturing, man. A kid taking a step in the direction of saying, I'm more than just a one-trick pony. I'm not just a third-down specialist. I'm going to play every down. I'm going to be able to, hey, I'm going to be able to set the edge. I'm going to be able to diagnose and not get fooled on screen passes and then things like that. Like, if you're just a pin your ears back guy in the SEC, they'll just scheme around you. And a lot of teams, if you have a good offensive coordinator, that's fairly easy to do, and they'll have you off balance the whole game. So being able to adjust, being able to, I guess, maneuver through a football game and not get that tunnel vision of hand in the ground, fire off the ball. Like, I got to absorb all the information. I got to absorb everything that's going on, and I have multiple responsibilities. I got to diagnose it, and then I got to execute. That is exactly what you got to see. That's exactly what I'm sure this staff wanted to see out of Jared Smith, probably from the beginning of camp when things were real quiet around him. And as he started to go through camp, he got better and better until, you know, he's obviously running with ones, and then he's making big plays in the spring game. He changes everything for this defensive line. He changes everything. Honestly, I don't think this is very dramatic. I don't think this is dramatic at all. He could have the biggest impact on the defense of anybody out there. That's including Xavier Atkins. That's including, you know, you name him, safety, Eric Winters, because his ability to affect quarterbacks and his ability to affect plays is going to change it for everyone. It's going to make things different for everyone, hopefully in a really, really good way. So it's good to hear guys. I mean, David Pollock, what, three-time All-American? I think he either broke the record, may still have the record for all-time sacks at Georgia. He knows defensive ends when he sees them. I mean, he's played the position. So obviously when you hear stuff like that, you hear superlatives coming out of those guys' mouths talking about Jared Smith, talking about an Auburn guy. It definitely need to take notice. It's not just us. How about that? It's not just, you know, the Monday through Friday podcast guys. It's not just the Auburn beat. It's not just the, you know, people trying to scrap up and, you know, write an article here, write an article there. Like, it's not that. It's not just pulling content. Like, now other people around the country are taking notice as well. So that's really, really good stuff. That's really exciting to hear. We're going to talk about freshmen to watch here in just a second. But before we do that, you know we got to give a shout-out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are. Do business with Auburn people. Hey, if you're in the Auburn area and you need some type of inflatable for your kids, you need some type of – it could be anything. We got an Auburn person to go to, and that's Ballard Party Rentals. They just signed up a couple of days ago. So you can check them out at buyauburn.com, go to their website. another Auburn person, if you want to do business with Auburn people, another Auburn person you can do business with. We're adding businesses every single day. If you want to list your business, hit it up. You can get it less than a dollar a day, and we're shouting it from the rooftops every single day. So check it out. It's buyauburn.com. If you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn-Opelika area, I'm on buyauburn.com, but you can also catch me here, Kyle Rush at KW.com, showing a bunch of houses today with listeners. So would love to help you and your family out as well. Hit me up. We'll be back right after this. Let's talk about some freshmen, man. Let's talk about some freshmen to watch. Got a few that I've pinpointed that I think could really make an impact this fall. One in particular, I want to see how once he transitions and how quickly he can get ramped up. But I'll get to him in just a second. I got to start with Deshaun Spencer. I mean, right? You're talking about the A-Day MVP. It's so good to see a guy take advantage of an opportunity. You know, when you're kind of given something, what do you do with it? Do you go take the you go make the most of it, or do you just kind of go through the motions? He was given, in my opinion, multiple opportunities. One, you got to go back to whenever he was, you know, this new staff gets here. He's committed to Duke, I believe, and you get him and you flip him and you get him in the class. That's an opportunity right there. Then you have an injury from Christian Neptune, a little shoulder issue, so he gets to step up his reps. And what does he do? He freaking explodes. Busts on the scene, has an unbelievable A-Day. Nobody that watches an Auburn practice can watch a practice, particularly on offense, and not say, hey, who's that guy right there? Who's that guy right there? That guy's going to be good. Deshaun Spencer, I think he could play early and often. So great, great, great to have him in that room. My next two are both defensive linemen, okay? And one of them we haven't seen yet, and one of them I was super surprised at how far along he already is. And I think he could help us this year. And that person's Tavian Branch. Remember, another late addition. You flipped him late, if I'm not mistaken. Really, really big kid. It was funny, the very first day they give us a roster, right? And Tavian Branch had a different number than what he was wearing on the field that particular day. So we're watching drills, and I can remember saying, who is 91? That's a big child right there. Who is that? And we're looking through the roster, and there's no 91. So right off the hoof, he's impressive and looks like he belongs physically. And then you saw him occasionally, you know, pop on some practices and do some things. I think he could be a guy. I don't know that he's going to play a ton of snaps, but he's another guy, another good body in that room that if somebody goes down, if somebody needs to take a break or you just want to get a young guy some snaps late in the game, like I definitely think he could be a fresh one off the bench that could help. So Tavian Branch, definitely one I think that had a really good spring that can help us. And along those same lines, and we talked about him the other day, I mean, we got to talk about my man Corey Wells. We got to talk about Corey Wells. I know he's not here yet, and I know we talked about this the other day, but I could easily see – I just think that guy's a dude. I just think that guy's going to come in, and it's not going to take him very long to sort of get up to speed. I mean, he's already, you know, 6'5", right at 300 pounds. I think he's going to be able to contribute right away. I'll be interested to see, is he going to be more of a nose or more of that quick tackle? I kind of feel like he's going to be on the quick tackle side because of how athletic he is, but he's just so big, I think he could do both. Corey Wells, definitely one to watch. And then you got to talk about Brian Williams Jr., 6'4", you know, every bit of 6'4", super smooth. He's another one that I think was one of the brighter storylines from spring that everybody really bragged on. I mean, you got Keyshawn Singleton on one side, and then you got Jeremiah Koger on the other. And he literally was the guy right behind Keyshawn Singleton almost every single rep, even going into the spring game. If I'm not mistaken, I think he started in the spring game. He did, because Keyshawn Singleton sat out for whatever disciplinary reason the first quarter of that game. So he's worked himself up to where he's the guy on the right side, right behind Keyshawn Singleton, and they don't interchange outside wide receivers. So, like, it's not like you could take Keyshawn Singleton and put him over on the left side and vice versa. Like, that when they lined up, if you're on the right side, you're on the right side. If you're on the left side, you're on the left side. And Brian Williams Jr. was right behind Keyshawn Singleton. So he's definitely somebody that could help right away. There's a couple other guys that I could imagine. I could see Wilson Zaire contributing this year. He obviously had worked himself up into being the starting guy. And I'm saying starting in quotation marks because you didn't see Stanton Ramil. But, like, hey, there's an injury history there. There could be some injuries along the offensive line. It happens. And it kind of feels like he could be one of those first guys off the bench there. So even in the short period of time, which is really crazy to think about how short that period of time was, you still were able to reel in and sign some guys that I think they contribute year one, can make some noise year one. And then hopefully you just kind of continue to build on that. This class, a little bit better, and so on and so forth. So even still, with all the obstacles that Golish had to go through from being hired to signing day, you still got some pretty good guys in this class. Let's talk golf really quick before we get out of here. Auburn is set to play in their regional. The way college golf works in the quote-unquote playoffs or whatever, the path to the national championship is you go to a regional, okay? You go to a regional, and I think there's 13 teams, and the top five after three rounds from there advance to the national championship, and that's a whole different format. And we'll talk about that when we get there. Auburn's had a luxury the past, 3 years? They've gotten a chance to host their regional at the Auburn University Club. Now, it's not like the top team gets home field advantage. It just, the cards just kind of played out that way. So it's not like if you're the number one team, then you automatically get the host. They award these things way out in advance because courses, man, there's a ton of preparation that has to go into hosting a regional. So they're actually going to Athens, to the Athens, you know, the Georgia University of Georgia's golf club. And that's where they will play their regional. It was awarded several years ago. Auburn got two, and the only reason they got two is because in 2023 it was awarded to them, and then in 2025 the school or the course that it was awarded to had a conflict and they had to drop out, so they had to find a replacement, and they had such success a couple of years ago at Auburn University Club, they just did it again. So the one in Athens was awarded, you know, again, several years ago. So Georgia is actually still in that regional. You typically do play in the regional that you host. But Auburn's still going in as the number one seed. So they'll go in, they'll play three rounds. Yeah, they'll play three rounds, and the top five teams from that deal go on to the national championship. So they've never – I think Coach Kleiner said they've never played there before, so it'll be a little bit of a learning curve, but these guys play courses all the time that they've never played before. And you go play practice rounds, it doesn't take long. You'll play a couple of practice rounds, and you're ready to go. So, and again, you don't have to win it. Just come inside the top five, and you're good to go. It's kind of crazy how spread out these things are, like as far as – going from SEC championship to regional, because this still doesn't happen until I believe, the 18th. So it's a Monday. You play three rounds. So May 18th, that's 10 days from now. Yeah, right at 10 days from now. So we'll cheer them on. I mean, they do really, really well in the stroke play events. It's the match play where anything can happen is where problems arise. But they broke the SEC championship 3-day stroke play record that they set the year prior this past season. So feel like they'll probably breeze through this and get to go to California and get a chance to play for another title. So we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks. That was just announced there where they'd be going. And when you're the number one seed, you get to go to the closest one, and Athens is the closest one. So obviously we'll be pulling for them. Guys, let me know what you think about what David Pollock said about Jared Smith. Let me know what you think about the freshman. Did I miss anybody? And we'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.